Good afternoon, good evening, good metal. My name's Coop and welcome to the Spoken Metal Show. Before we even get into today's episode, just want to thank, or rather give a shout out, you should say, is the cool way of doing it, isn't it, to Good Death, who were on the last show, as you remember. If you haven't checked that show out, that's a really, really, really nice insight into a young upcoming band who were then played the Leeds metal to the masses and then went and won it. They're now playing Bloodstock. I told you they were a band to check out and I told you they were a band to keep an eye on, and now you will be able to do so on Bloodstock stage of you know, the top of the mountain stuff for a new band coming through. And I think they're going to be, like I said in the show, one to watch. Absolutely fantastic result for Godeth there. Go listen back to the last show and see how just how enthusiastic and really up for the journey that's going to lay ahead of them. Well done, guys. Fantastic. I look forward to seeing many, many more shows from you. Godeth there, you know, where to go, guys. I mean, we've got our own Metal to the Masses Merseyside coming up soon as well. That's on Friday the 16th of June. I will be comparing as always, and it's going to be at Molly's Chambers, and I'm going to do a whole preview episode for that as well. But that's the other side of the water in Liverpool, in Birkenhead, which is just something I'm so looking forward to. But I will hold me water with that and tell you more about that as we get closer to the show. We've also got Friday the 9th of June, Metal on Merseyside event, which is an event a little bit different. It's between 6 and 9 in Liverpool. And it's more a conversation. It's an open house to talk about. We're going to be putting on an exhibition at some point of metal within Liverpool, and everything from ticket stubs and posters to experiences that you may have had with Liverpool and Merseyside and the extended scene regarding metal. And we want to hear from you and what should we include, what should we not include. Let's have a little bit of a conversation about that. We'll be doing an online version of this as well for people that can't get to the show. But it's a really exciting time. There's some really great stuff going on. And I have two big surprises coming out, which I keep teasing and will continue to tease. Some of you have already messaged me and already have guessed what some of it may be. So that's cool. And some of you are 100% right. Some of you are 100% wrong and everything in between. But it's nice. And so that I'm going to tease that a little bit further, but it's coming. And it's something I've very, very, very done a lot of work for and I'm really looking forward to. But this particular episode is a win all round for me. I get to sit down with someone who, you know, I really like and admire. I think what they're doing for the scene is fabulous. In a venue, and I'll get to that in a sec, in a venue I love, you know, it's a second home for me. I think it's one of the best venues in Liverpool, in the world, you know, and then talk about an event that's coming up that's also a fucking kick-ass metal show that's going to be fucking absolutely epic. And I do all of that in one show, and that's why this one's called a kind of a preview and interview special. And this one, you should be hearing this now on the, it'll give you something to listen to whilst you're sunning yourself or drinking your beer, or if you're traveling to a show, if you're a band traveling to a show, or if you're thinking about what you're going to do next weekend. You know, we've got Carcass on one day, and this is going to be an event on the Saturday, the 3rd of June. So there's a ton of metal coming there. You know, there is no scene as really, you know. And so this conversation was with Ian Eanes, the sound guy at the Outpost. He also works with Last Stop Sound, so we get into both of those as well. And this was actually at the Outpost itself, in their kind of main room. And I wanted to do those again. I love the Zooms because it means I can talk to, you know, people like Brian Slagle all the way across the globe and bands from other countries, which I adore doing. But there's nothing better than going to a real venue and there being no screen between you. And you are literally just sitting there. And we went in a venue, which is weird. Is when you go to a venue that has music on, that's nothing's going on, and the house lights are up, and you can see everything. And it's really weird sitting in these venues like that. But we just had that, you know, just recorded straight up as is. And it's great. You can hear the room almost. It's excellent. And I sit down with Ian, and we go through the show. You know, we do a little bit about him and a little bit about Last Stop Sounds. We've had him on the show before, and I would urge you to go back and listen to the longer form one, which is a fantastic episode, one of the most listened to episodes. But I'd go back Saturday the 3rd of June at the Outpost. It's Balls Deep, Deified, Ritual Noise Department. That is, and we go into this in the show, that is a fucking ridiculously good bill. It is ridiculously good bill. I can't wait to see. I mean, I've seen all of these bands at some point together just blows my mind. You know, I really can't wait to see Balls Deep. I've seen them a while back and I want to see them again. You know, Deified, we've had them on the show. You know, I can't wait to see them. They're superb. And then Reaper, once again, you know, Uncle Dan, he's been on the show many times, but maybe even the most guested person on the show. Reaper on fire at the moment. And then Visceral Noise Department. There's that band I don't know, I've heard of, but I've never seen live. Everything is a winner here. There's so much to look forward to the show. And I do my best, and me and Ian do our best to kind of convince you almost to come to this show. And I'm going to do them for every show that I think you should go to. And because I want to illustrate that there can be no excuses here. You might not be able to get to this show. You might not be able to go to the next one. But I don't want you to not be aware of these shows happening and how each show has their own little story behind them. You know, you're seeing bands at different stages in the career, and you're going to get to see this unfold, and that's very special. And then talking about great venues and some of the little bit of the history, and then Last Stop Sounds and the fabulous work they're doing with bands. So for me, this was a win all round. I really hope you enjoy this. This is a special on a number of levels. It's a special because I sit down with Ian again and we do it at the Outpost, but it's also special because I talk about this upcoming show. Will be there this weekend, as you hear this podcast now, will be this weekend, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there. So far, I've had a lot of messages about shows and stuff like that, and I don't want to say too much yet, but I will start moving with that a little bit more. But like, once again, the surprise can wait. For now, you know, just sit back, you know, or if you're waiting to go on before the show and you listen to this, or you're in the studio, or you're traveling and you're in the back of a van, you're the one guy sitting at the back with someone's fucking amp on them or a drum case on them or whatever, or you're in the back of a van. I remember driving back from a van for a show once and there was no fucking mobile phones, which probably dates me. Pitch black for like 3 hours on this drive. Like, what can you do? So you end up like talking, but it's weird, yeah? So if you're sitting in the back of a van or whatever it is, or you're sitting outside with a beer, you know, or, you know, fuck, if you're working in a job you fucking hate and the only thing that gets you through it is knowing that there's a band playing music you like and you can go to see it with like-minded individuals and free yourself that you are not this job that you hate. You are not that doesn't represent who you are, but for the 8 hours, 10 hours, 11 hours, whatever it may be, you have to do it to get, you know, to get the money to live. I know that fucking feeling. And if you're listening to this and you're fortunate to have this on, you can have a podcast on, or you can put it in your ears, hopefully you crack a wry smile. There's no one else knows what I'm saying to you now. You fucking hate the job and you want to get out desperately. You know, you may be in a band that's desperately working hard, and, you know, I'm here to tell you to keep working for one. But I'm also tell you that, you know, this weekend coming is a weekend of magical metal where there's so much fucking cool stuff going on. And this show at the Outpost on Saturday is just, I'm looking forward to going to it just to talk to friends and see people I know, because that's what I live for, you know, the bands, seeing live music and being in the live environment. It's just the best thing ever. So please enjoy my conversation, as I say, with Ian at the Outpost. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know what's really nice, Ian, just to be out in the real world doing this, because most of these I've been doing them over Zoom recently. So to come to a venue and a venue I adore and speak to a person who I adore about stuff that I adore, this is nice like this. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm with Ian, of course, from the Outpost, Last Stop Sounds. We'll get into that soon enough as well, but someone we only normally talk when we're shouting at each other, because
yeah,
there's
a band.
Yeah, we
can never hear each other. Yeah. It's usually too loud and we've got to go somewhere else to talk.
Yeah, it's like, it's always like quick sentences in between bands, like, you know. Yeah. Mate, okay. It's good to be in the Outpost. You know my love for the venue. I've talked to the venue up enough and you up enough, but I mean, how long have you been here then? How long have you been working
there? Right, okay. It's sort of, I was mobile for long enough. So I used to do gigs in Pilgrim and all over, carrying my gear around in the back of a Vectra, believe it or not. and then I spoke to Helen 2015, maybe. I said to her, I'm sick of carrying gear around. I said, to, you know, there's an opportunity for us to both benefit here. If I put all my stuff in, glue it to the walls and everything, like, you know, and and I can just look after the back room, you can look after your bar, and we'll both benefit, you know. And luckily she said yeah, so all pro and everything to hell and that, like that. I've been here ever since.
Yeah, I remember doing one of the first shows I ever did was sitting down with Helen and the gang and talking about the transition from Helen's and Maguire's Pizza Bar to kind of the output, and that transition was just at the beginning of that journey. So, I mean, they celebrated their anniversary recently, which was just amazing to me.
Well, it
swapped
over sort of September 18th.
Yeah.
It changed into output.
It changed into the thing it is. And what's amazing about the venue is that it's become part of the cycle.
Yeah.
So it's become part of, like, you know, when bands are touring, they'll include this place because of the vibe and the thing it is. And one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, when you're out touring, you don't really remember venues much. You remember the eccentricities of them. So you remember if it has a good shower, or if you remember if the food was good, or the host was good, or the sound guy was good, or the crew was good. You remember these things. And a lot of people remember, like, getting served pizza here, you know, the vegan stuff they do, and you.
Oh,
you know, this is the
nice
truth. You know, like,
that's nice to know.
Ian will, when have you ever had this, like, ladies and gentlemen, when have you had it where the band can be playing and we can be having banter with the sound guy, and it's what they want, and it's this wonderful thing that you don't see anywhere else, mate.
It makes for a good show, though, doesn't it? I mean, you know, I'm not a massive show off or anything like that, but sometimes bands find it difficult to say things between tracks, and you can see them sort of, like, you know, umming and airing and talking to each other and end up tuning the guitars in the end, to be honest with you, to pass the time, which is a good thing because untuned guitars sound like shite. But no, it's just something that I've just always done. I don't go over the top, I don't think.
I think it helps bands. It's like anything. Yeah, when you see your mate, it's the first one to get in the gag, the first thing to say something funny to the other.
I won't go overboard. If I don't know them, I won't go overboard with them. But if I know them, they're just going to get it.
And exactly. But it means that if there's a real problem, like something like, we've been here when the sound's gone down. We've had this happen.
We've had it
where, like, you know, 10 minutes before the doors open, there's a fucking all kinds of problems. I've been here. I've seen it happen.
And because
of that, and that, like, kind of banter and that, you know, that closeness that you get where you can talk and be open about stuff, it means that those problems are just fucking dealt with almost straight away, because it doesn't matter, because you can go, this is that. And it just, I've seen that happen. I've seen you relax a band. I've seen you do that where I know they're pretty nervous the first time playing here. Some cases, one of their first shows, you know, we've seen that. And they're immediate, and they're shitting themselves, and something goes wrong. Something happens with the microphone, and it could have been to them. It's a fucking nightmare. We all laugh. There's a bit of banter, and we get on with the show, and it's fucking, that's like, honestly, that's not something that you see everywhere, you know, and that's one of the things that, like I say, a band passing through will remember.
We do have banter. I mean, it's nice that I get a lot of, like, messages on social media after shows, you know, the week later or whatever, and I get the odd message saying, you know, really loved it, I can't wait to come back, and this, that, and the other. And I suppose it's part of selling what we do. We've never been like any other venue. I'm pretty much sure you get onto that
100%.
You know, I'm not going to slag other venues off and like them, because all venues are really important.
Yeah,
you know, and we lost a few over lockdown and that. So luckily we managed to keep going, that, you know.
It is
the will of God or whatever.
It is a testament to
Lulu or whatever the fucking name.
it is a testament though to the identity of a venue. Like, you know, it goes all the way back to somewhere like CBGB's or what these venues, that the vibe of the place was just was way bigger than the four walls, you know, way bigger than anything there.
Definitely.
That's what this is, and you've still, you know, Helen and that have maintained this wonderful vibe that it's still got. I mean, we're sitting here now, and it's only when you kind of, like, the lights are up and you can see all the posters on the walls, and it just, I can hear the music, I can hear the venue, I can hear it. You know, you don't get that in some of these sort of, you know, more kind of sanitised venues.
My when I was a kid, going to gigs and this, that, and it, around Liverpool, and you used to go to different venues, you know, what were the venues I used to go to? The State and Eric's and things that, you know. And they all had their own little identity and what have you. For one way or another, Eric's was more punk than anywhere else.
Yeah.
Metal venues in Liverpool years ago.
I mean, you go all the way back to like Planet X and stuff.
Now. I'm getting old now, so my memory is going.
Ain't we all? But it was, you remember, you don't necessarily remember the walls and the venue itself, but you remember the vibe.
The vibe and the atmosphere it creates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We try and do that here. I mean, we do good pizza, we do good beers and all that business. That's all an extension of what we do. And this is an extension of that, to be fair. I mean, when all intents and purposes we're a pizza bar that does beers,
we do
well with that,
but
this is an extension of that, like, you know. So everybody walks in the back door with carrying their amps and everything through the door, and the first thing they get is the pizza. They can smell pizza as soon as they walk in there, and you can see them just dumping down. They don't want a sound check. They just want to go and stuff their faces full of lard and all sorts of shit.
I loved that it was kind of, you know, that it all that's happened organically, though, isn't it?
It's a great mix.
It happened to be that, then it happened to be punk, and then it was other bands come, and the whole thing just kind of works. It's been fostered. It's not been forced. It's not like when you see a venue and they go, okay, we're this venue, we're going to do this and then this, and it can seem a little contrived. It ain't that here. It's very organic and very natural. So the other part of the identity side of it is that, you know, nothing seems forced, so it's like it all seems genuine, it all seems real.
We take everything, we don't judge anybody in here. Everybody's got their own little they're here to do a show, they're here to show off their wares and their skills to their crowd, and maybe even a new crowd, hopefully, you know. We do get a lot of sort of like resident customers and stuff, and they come to me, they'll say, that was great, or, you know, they report to me, give me feedback and what have you.
I've seen that happen. I've seen that in real time,
definitely. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of venues are like that. I mean, but we can't speak to anyone, so we just crack on what we're doing.
You just get on with what you're doing. It's gloriously removed from everything. It's just this wonderful ecosystem that exists all on its own. And I love that, though, that it is that people come here now just to see the music. And if it's shit, they'll be like, that shit, I didn't enjoy that. But that's fine. You want that, because if you are shit, you want to know.
Very political.
But if you're good,
as good as the last one.
If you're good here, I've seen this place go off. We've both seen it. We've been standing here when that's happened. We're sitting, ladies and gentlemen, just by where the sound desk is, and I've stood in this space for God knows how many shows when it's been fucking full. Now the cap for this place is what, 70? Something like that? 70, 85. It's, you know,
At tops,
we've been in here when it's been like, because it's not a raised stage here, ladies and gentlemen. You could walk straight on it. I've seen it where people are almost falling over the monitors because there's that many people in here. That's special, that, you know what I mean? That connection where you're like, the band have got nothing in the way. There's no security barriers. There's no security. It's like, it's you and them.
That's right.
Play a fucking show. Play a good show, you know?
The metalcore shows we have in here with Tom James, the L1HC ones where they're trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
They're the scary ones.
Yeah, they go.
I've been in here. Joe will tell you this. Joe Mortimer will tell you this. Me and Joe have been stood right where you are watching a show, and it's all going off, and they're all swinging their arms and doing what they do with metalcore bands. And see that bin? It was 3/4 full, and it whistled past mine and Joe's head. It really seriously nearly hit me. And Joe looked at each other. You know that shock you get in a cartoon? And end up in the back corner, all the crap all over the place and whatever. Yeah. So it happens. It's just
it's
very organic.
Yeah, and saying what you're saying about that, you can have one night where it is this crazy hardcore show. You can have another night where it's a death metal show, and then you can have another night where it's this indie band playing.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like dead retrospective and introspective. Comedy nights, you know, and hopefully, like, fingers crossed, some spoken word stuff, but it can do all that. Now, normally venues get painted with one brush. It's like, okay, that's a this venue, that's a that venue. But that's the other thing about this place. is that it's, you know, you can, like any particular weekend, the Friday's one type of show, Saturday's a whole different show, and the Sunday's a completely different show. That's real testament to success there, you know, because now there's multiple genres playing.
It's nice that people are still getting shocked when you walk in. They're still finding it, believe it or not. They're still finding it.
Yeah.
You're still getting bands going, oh, I've never been in here before. Mm. Or, they, you know, punters walk in, they pay their money at the door, they stand there with a pint, and they just stand there going,
What is this place?
Where did this come from?
Yeah.
And then it all cranks up because, like, you know, the sounds took a while to get together, and it's great when it gets going.
Yeah.
And it's a noisy little sweaty box when you're summer. Yeah. It's nasty.
It's one of those,
nasty in a good way.
It's nasty in a bad way as well sometimes. I've been in here sweating shit, but that's part of the experience, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, if you had to pick a hidden gem in Liverpool, 100% this represents it. There's nothing outside. You know, there's a sign that's spray painted on the top. Did I miss the first?
Dave. Yeah, the sign's against the wall behind you.
Yeah, you got the old sign here. Did it fall down?
No. It's the wood behind it holding it was just gone. Yeah, and we'd rather it be there than on somebody's head.
Isn't that a great metaphor for what's going on here? The sign falls down because there's just fucking, it's rotten away, and instead of doing anything, it needs to have a sign so somebody can see where the fucking is. They just spray paint the outpost on.
Put googly eyes on it now. Just big googly eyes, and if you're not seeing it.
But it's like, it's that mentality, that kind of like, just fucking DIY, let's go. But like I say, if there's a better hidden gem in Liverpool, I'd like to know about it, because you can walk past this place, you would never know this existed. I brought people here, and we're walking, they're like, past the bar, where the fuck are we going? Open the door. And they're like, where the fuck is that Narnia?
We're not a place where normal public comes in.
It's not a passing trade place. Not at all.
No, it's not a towny bar at all. So for it to be sort of like hidden in plain sight is sort of a nice thing to have. Like, we don't want to get too big for its boots.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever going to be that, because there's no room for expansion. There's no room for expansion, and it's not that, you know, some people would listen to that and go, okay, well that means it's maybe that there's an exclusivity to it. It's not. No. But anybody who walks through that door, I was walking with there with a bloke, never been here before. He's like, this is fucking boss, and he's welcome with open arms, and that's it. But you know, 25 lads coming in on the way through a stag do, this isn't probably the place for them. That's not going to necessarily work for them. But
we've had it. Yeah, they come in, have one drink, and then sort of decide that there's too many real normal people in the world. So they walk out, and they feel like the ones that are pushed out. It's great.
I love the place, and I think that, you know, I've said to you before,
keep coming back to shows, ladies.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. The videos that I put up of showing people is to actually show you, this is what's going on in your backyard, and you must see it. You're here every show, virtually every show. You see it time and time again. You see the amount of quality and the amount of talent and the diversity of talent as well. You see that here. You must be like, fuck's sake, get to a show. You know what I mean? I've seen there's a massive, not just metal, there's a massive scene going on that people don't know about.
The music industry itself, and when you go to, like, you want to go to a big show or anything like that, it's pushing £100 for the ticket. And you know, you can, to a point, you get why these big bands are charging that much, because they're not earning off music anymore. They basically make the music to promo the shows now
and sell
the T-shirt and the merch.
100%.
That's where they make the money. And the ticket money, that's the only way they're going to get, because they're used to that lifestyle now from many years ago.
Yeah.
They used to sell millions of albums, but they don't do that anymore now. On the other hand, we've got our type of venue where you can pay 7, 8, 10 quid... come and see 4 or 5 bands, and they're just as talented, if not like giving it more on the stage, on our small stage, compared to like the Echo Arena. Now, you know, we're not the Echo Arena, we're never going to be. I mean, it's a ridiculous thing, but we've got our place, and the bands that pass through here may end up in the Echo Arena. That's a possibility. Well, it's a probability.
Yeah, I've said that when I talk about a journey for a band,
and
especially
that goes with any small
band,
venue, that, to be honest.
I've talked about that, about the, you know, this is where it starts, and you can be a loathing to play downstairs in a jacaranda and to small amounts of people, and then eventually play arenas. There is a route map for that, but it's interesting, isn't it, that, you know, if you when everybody talks about going to see, like, let's say the last person I saw at the arena was Elton John. Went to see Elton John at the arena. It was fabulous. It was Elton John. It's fantastic. Cool. And that's great. But if he played here, that'd be such a great gig. And if you, which would you say you'd rather see?
Charge 10,000.
Him here or him there. And the reason being is because it's got that one thing you can't get. No matter how the production is. I mean, even if you're Metallica and they get right up close to the fans, even the bigger bands, and you do really great production, you can't get intimacy. You can't get that where it's like you're right there. The band, you're right there with the band. Yeah. You're right there in real time. You're looking at the, you know, if you want to look at the guitarist pedals or the amps that they're using or what kicks the drums, you can see this. It's all there, and it's complete. It's open heart gigging. It's right there.
100%.
And so that's one of the things that I think people look for now. That, you know, look, we can go and see the larger bands and arenas, and that's fine. We pay a lot of money, and it's all about the production and all that. And that's great, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But this, what places like the Outpost offer, is that real, you can see stuff before, maybe a couple of years before it explodes. You can see it when it's in its rawest, most exciting stage before, you know, it's maybe been, money's affected some decisions, it's got people making decisions outside the band as well, before it gets infected, as we know it does.
Yeah.
You get an absolute purity here. And a chance to see, I talked about this a lot as well, a chance to see a young band figuring it out. We've been here when we've seen bands and we've looked at each other gone, oh shit, it's clicking for them. This is the show. We've watched it happen where we've seen another show where it maybe didn't. But
it's
then
great
this
when
one.
You see, when you see the same band come back 3 or 4 times.
Exactly.
And from the first time to the third and fourth time, you see how much improvement they've done. And you go and talk to them and you say, look, you need. And I'm very, very thing about that. I criticise them, but in a good way. I try and say to them, I said, look, you're doing really, really well. Like that, I do it often with, especially with younger bands and what have you. So you're doing really, really well, but you'll improve if you do this, or if you improve if you do this.
Yeah.
If you work on this, it's going to make you sound better. Maybe if you do this, mic positions.
Yeah,
it's dead simple. Sometimes it's just sometimes, you know, they see their heroes on stage like that with a microphone twisted over and upside down and shit. And you know, it's not going to do you any good. It's just make yourself sound great.
Yeah.
You can play with the fucking mic there later on, like, you know.
Yeah.
You have 12 mics on yourself, it doesn't matter. I said, just make sure everything's comfortable and making you sound as best as you can in a small space like this as well.
But that's it. I've seen you talk to those bands and they listen to the younger bands. They do make. I've seen it happen where they've gone right then, okay. And that's what sometimes is missing from some venues, and who don't kind of work with the artist, which is the whole point. Is that, you know, you're scared to go to, especially if you don't know what you're talking about. If I was in a young band and I'm like 17, 18, young band, and I don't know shit about sound, I know what the amp sounds like and a lot, but I don't know anything about mic placement, and I don't know anything about where I'm standing and feedback, and you know, sometimes playing quieter to get it. I don't know anything about this.
Okay.
Most of the time, people will put a wall up and go, oh, okay, I'm just going to turn up loud and the sound guy will deal with it. What you've got here, and I've seen it happen at the last show, was where there's a little bit of interaction where you go, no. You
just
do this.
Try this instead.
Just try this. We did it with a couple of amps. Remember messing around with amps, and the guys go, oh yeah, fucking, of course, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, that isn't on the table at every show for them.
I don't know, because I just do what I do.
Yeah.
So I can't really comment on anybody else.
I fucking can.
Okay.
I've been to other venues where they would go, where they don't. There's not that interaction. It doesn't exist.
Okay.
Because they're too afraid, because either they don't want to talk about it, or they don't want to say that they don't know what to talk about, or the sound guy doesn't give a fuck, or the sound person doesn't want
to
work with them.
A few times, to be fair.
And it's like that's the real secret, because these young bands, ladies and gentlemen, that are coming through that want to play eventually arena shows and these big bands, they have to get that shit pretty much sorted now, because, you know, in a festival situation, it's a throw and go gig. You've got 10 minutes to get yourselves together, you know, so you need to know what you're fucking doing quickly. This is school here. That's what this is.
It's not being afraid about talking to me as well. I do say that stipulated to them when I'm talking to them. I said, look, if there's something you don't like, you've got to tell me. Otherwise, I can't do nothing about it, can I?
Yeah.
You can't hear yourself, or the drummer's this, or, you know, you've got to tell me what the problem is. I said, I'll come up with a solution. where everybody's going to be happy. That's what sound check is for.
That's exactly when you're doing properly. It's a conversation between the two people.
We need the best output
because you both want the same outcome. Good show, good sound. Both want the same outcome. But like I say, I've been to venues where that isn't the case. But the best venues like this, you know, and the venues all around the world are the ones where that works. Where the sound, and I'm telling you now, the reason that this has been put on circuits is because of yourself, because of the venue, because it's the go, okay, oh yeah, when you go, speak to him, he's a good guy, and he'll sort you out with blah, blah, blah. You've earned that now.
Cool.
Yeah, if you have a little Boy Scout badge, you've earned it.
Buy me a fucking badge.
Yeah. what's the icon? It's like someone shouting on a mic or biting a mic or something.
I don't want. Sometimes I come across a quite sharp and that, like, but I love banter with bands.
Yeah.
Banter with bands is the best.
It's honestly. What, you know, look.
Because they come from everywhere. Bands from Newcastle come in, and it's always the Machams. You know, bands from Sunderland come in, it's always the Geordies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But get in their face, and they stand there looking at each other and going.
Immediately, though, it sets it to ease. I remember going up to a show in Glasgow, and two steps into the door, I'm down the banks because I'm from Liverpool. They're giving me all this shit and that in a good way, and it just breaks the ice. Everyone's like, oh, "Okay, we're all good now. Let's get on with it. Let's get on with the job now."
Even the young bands, especially, seriously, because they're bag of nerves. They really don't know. They're in a strange place. They don't know what's going on. And you walk up to the stage and you can see this, that, and the other. And you try and say, have you got any issues? If you've got any problems? If you need anything, like wires, cables, if you've forgotten fucking kettle leads or whatever like that.
Yeah.
And forever give, by the way, bands, fucking take your kettle leads home. Fuck's sake. They're like rat's tails hanging onto the walls when everyone's gone home with a night like that.
Yeah.
And they're just everywhere. And they're like £8 each nowadays if you go and buy them. So what I do then is I loop them up, hang them up. Then the following night, bands come and say, oh, I haven't got a kettle lead. Did you leave it hanging out of the fucking wall? The last one last night, did you?
So
I give them and say, Merry Christmas, I don't want that.
These are important lessons. You're making it nice for them. Look, I've sorted you out because of this, but that's experience. Yeah. So I can't tell you how many times I've been on tour with credible bands where you go to do something and someone's left something at another venue, and that can like have a life altering effect for that show. If you know, I've had people have missed a pedal that's over, and it's part of a song that they're playing. Exactly.
I don't want that. I don't want bands fucking worrying about a fucking kettle lead.
Yeah.
When they've got more important shit to do.
But these are the things where you're allowed to, my point is, you're almost allowed to fail here. You're almost allowed 100%. To kind of make a mistake, and no one's going to give you any shit. You can get on with it. And I've seen it. I've been at quite a few shows where, you know, we've looked at each other and gone, that's not that great. And I've watched you fix that in real time, you know. So it's just good to see
experience.
That.
Experience, I mean.
Exactly.
You'd only learn by your mistakes or you learn by like fiddling with things while bands are playing.
Yeah.
And people don't see that bit. People don't see the what I'm doing. Because you're just the fucking guy. The sound guy, and the odd guy will come over to you out the crowd saying, my son's vocals are louder for fuck's sake. You know, I'm here trying to fiddle with a guitar.
There's the things that they don't talk about. So when you go and study sound at Lipper or wherever the fuck you go.
Oh, I don't study.
They tell you how boards work, and they tell you about amps and this type of thing, and you know, balanced sound and all this. They talk about all that. That's great, and that's great. That's the academic side of it, and it's very valuable. But no one's going to tell you how to deal with a drunk bassist. That's not on the curriculum.
It's like getting a driving license.
Yeah,
you need to learn to drive when you sat in the car on your own with your driving license. You go, fuck. I'm in the real world now.
Yeah, I remember. But
you've got all the knowledge.
Yeah, I remember passing my driving test, and about a week later, I was on a road, and a police car's coming down this road, and he flashes me so I can go past. Like, you're not meant to do that.
No, that's not in the book.
That's
the law.
That's a cop doing that. And I'm like, because that's the real world. He needed to tell me to go through and to stop it, blah, blah, blah. And that's the real world.
It's like
real world application. Yeah. And that's the thing, like, you know, if you're a young sound tech, ladies and gentlemen, coming into this business, communication with a band and explaining what you want to do to get the right results is absolutely fucking key. Yeah. It's absolutely key. You can know all about your desk and all about every microphone you've got in the world, but there will be a ton of problems that will come through that you have no, that cannot be written down. There's just that many of these weird little eccentricities that each gig has, you know.
You've got to when a band walks in the room and you've gone past that banter bit and you know all this, that and the other, you've got to get them to trust you.
Yeah. Trust.
And if they don't trust you, then it's sort of like you can be lost one way. And all bands have egos, of course they do. So ego can split that up and make that sort of like an even harder thing to get back. But what you've got to do is you've got to walk up to them and say, look, okay, you know, like we've just been talking about. Mm. You've got to trust, say, look, turn your guitar amps down a bit. Give me a bit of control and then it'll sound 50% better. So just try it while we're here. If you don't like it, we'll go back to the way you want it and whatever. And 9 times out of 10, I'm always right.
But that's why we've seen it before. Like, you know, I'm thinking of Paul DeZanzi, like where someone's that good at doing that, the bands take them out on tour. Because of the trust thing, they'll go, okay, the guy does the sound at this particular place, he totally gets us. Let's bring him out on tour. Because, ladies and gentlemen, that's what you want. If you've got a sound guy that's coming out with you on tour, above everything else, you've got to trust each other to get it right. Like, you've got to have that. And it earns through playing shows and getting it right each time and getting better and better. And that's why I think, you know, some sound guys are poached to go out on tour and do big shows because of that.
I've been offered it.
Yeah.
But I like this place too much. And I'm getting on a bit now. I mean, I don't really want to. I've got too much going on. I've got a wife now. This, that and the other. So I don't think. I think touring's gone now. I would have loved to have done it years ago. I'd love to have got into sound.
Yeah.
Because I was a DJ before there was a sound guy. I was a DJ for 25 years. And I got out and about doing that. And I wish I'd have done this
Here's the thing, though.
Earlier. I wish I'd have gone to it earlier.
While we're talking, and I've always been pretty honest and blunt with you, would you take on an apprentice at this stage then?
I have done in the past.
Have you?
Yeah.
What ages are we talking about?
Well, there was a couple of guys recently. One of them was in, is it SAE, is it? Yeah. And his dad came up to me in the show. He said, you know, my son's in SAE, he's got to do some this, that and the other. He said, is it all right if he comes around? I said, I always say yeah.
Yeah.
I can't teach them much.
Very
basic, very DIY setup. I've got a revving drum hot. Yeah, that's probably why it sounds great in here.
It does. That's exactly
so,
what it sounds
so, great. So, yeah, and I probably wouldn't teach him much, but if he stands and watches how I deal with
everything. Like I think that's an education right there.
And this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
I tell him what I can.
Yeah.
But he probably knows it all anyway.
As always, like, ladies and gentlemen, I'm forever telling him he's amazing and he's forever telling me he's just all right. But the truth is, I'm right and he's wrong in this case. You would tell him, what you would be telling them would be a wealth of information. It would be, mate. That's interesting. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see you.
And then the guys I've had who step in for me when I'm going on holiday or whatever. Mm. We've had a couple of young guys stepping in for me. So, you'd only find your feet when you've been in the room for a little while.
Yeah.
And you sort of realise that an empty room sounds better than a full room. No, the other way around.
A
full room sounds much better because it's a big sponge.
Yeah, just all the sound gets.
Yeah, so you can really give it some beans and stuff. Yeah. I'm losing another one now. The guy that covers for me now, Tom's going to the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
So I've got to find somebody to fucking start all over again. So I've got that nuisance fucking thing where I've got to find someone genuine enough and accommodating enough who can step in when I can't. Like,
that's still proud father right there, yeah? Right. That's still, you're still happy he's doing that, aren't you? And you'll still check in and be like, oh, fucking hell, you killed
him. He's going to be a school teacher in Isle of Man, that's why.
Bastard.
Leave me in the jail.
But that's the other thing we talk about. We talk about bands and this being a route to kind of the next stage and a route map to getting onto to bigger and better things. But there's also like a whole ton of people who want to know how to do this. How do you run a show? How do you promote a show? You know, how do you do that?
I've had conversations with guys who come in, say, yeah, I'm a SAE or I'm a Lipper or whatever. I'm doing sound and this, that and the other. I said, all right, okay. He says, what do you want to do when you've got your qualifications? I thought, oh, I want to go in studio.
Yeah.
I'd hate being in a studio.
It's a different world, isn't it?
I hate to tell you.
It's a different world.
Then the real egos in the world turn up.
It's a different... I mean, I don't know anybody...
It's pernickety. You've got to sit there with a kick drum and fucking play with a kick drum for fucking 3 days until you get the right one. I'm a patient guy, but fucking hell, that really tests my patience.
It's a whole different set of skills, isn't it? And I'm sure, great the people that can do that. That's fantastic. And, you know, managing what's going on there, that's a whole different set of skills than being a tour sound guy or being in a venue. Entirely different set of skills, all valuable. But, and I'm sure there's some bleeding over of those skills into other ones. But, you know, someone in a studio, I don't think would probably make a good tour in one. And vice versa, and I don't think they'd be good because
there's people skills involved and things like that. Then
it's a whole different world.
I would advise any young guy who wants to go into sound and that, go on tour, man. Go and do the world, go and see the world and play with noise and then go and get drunk or whatever.
Well, because, like, you know, touring is basically that just turned up to 11. Is that just like you go into a different place each night, so you have to get used to that each night.
Yeah.
It's a different team each night of the house crew. You know, you've got your own collectivity, but each night it's like a whole load. Is 10 more new problems you never saw at the last venue? Is 20 more problems you didn't see at that other venue? Is a festival and there's 100 more problems that you didn't see? I mean, that's the advantage of being based in one venue, is you learn the eccentricities of the venue, and then you can focus on the other set of problems. But yeah, touring's like...
I'd rather have it this way around.
The deep end straight away, because you've got no... There's nowhere to run, you know, there's nowhere to hide, off you go, and especially if you do festivals, and like I say, these throw-and-go shows where, you know, you've got 10 minutes changeover, and if you haven't got your shit together, then you set shit at the end, you know, it's like there's no do-overs. So it's like the deep end, but I don't think... Studio is it most definitely a different skill. I don't see you doing a studio one and just sitting there and working on it on a kick for 3 days. I don't think that's gonna work. Unless you recorded everybody like live. I think that might be cool for that.
Well, you're talking.
Okay.
We can talk about that later.
We can
talk about that later.
So let's get on to... I just want to get on to now to Last Stop Sounds.
Okay.
And I want to kind of... understand what it is, where it became from, and where it's going, and what you want to do.
It wasn't started by me. It started by a guy called Richie Yates. Right. You know Richie?
Yeah, I know Richie.
Yeah, does he's a photographer. He's in three bands, four bands.
He's in four bands. Yeah,
yeah. He's a good guitarist. Amazing guitarist. To be honest. Bass player. Blah blah blah. And he started Last Stop Sounds as a sort of... gig reviews, music reviews, a fanzine as such.
Yeah,
you know, and he did a couple of like printouts and what have you of the fanzine and that, and then we started speaking. So why don't we start doing our own gigs? So we started booking the odd gig here and there, and then what happened was to Ozzy John, he's Australian, believe it or not.
Yeah, funnily enough.
Lives in the Whittle. he's been in the punk scene in all over since the 80s.
Yeah.
And he started his own sort of spin-off of Last Stop Sounds, which is the Funhouse gigs that we do, which is his band, Dry Wretch, are a resident as such.
Yeah.
Now, Dry Wretch, even in their latter years, I can say that because they're all old. I've improved out of sight. They're a fantastic band to listen to. If you ever get to see Dry Wretch, go and see them. So the Funhouse is now the Last Stop Sounds gigs are more fluid.
Right.
We cater with more than one genre.
Sure.
Now we generally do sort of a lot of punk ones, but there's a lot of punk bands around.
Yeah.
We do some psych stuff. We do some, like, you know, quieter gigs. We don't even do them in just Outpost now.
Yeah.
We do them in Round the Corner. We've done them in Hobo Kiosk.
Yeah, yeah.
A little place around the corner. We've also done Atma in Manchester, and we've done the Salty Dog in Northwich as well. So yeah, we're getting about. But now and again we do metal ones.
Yeah.
Which is where we're coming to with this. I've done the odd metal one through Last Stop, We've got a really, really interesting watch once we've been trying to get together for many years now.
Yeah,
we finally managed to get all these in the same room, which is fantastic.
This show coming up, ladies and gentlemen, on the 3rd of June. We were back and forth in this. We were talking about the show as you were kind of putting it together, and I was like, you know, this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's you getting these. This feels like planets coming together. This feels like it all kind of all the sort of stars aligning. Mm. Because you never normally you're just not going to get this. I don't think
three. I mean, for serial noise departments are from Glasgow. I missed them last time they were here because I was doing other things. but the other three, I've worked with many times before.
Same.
And I've always said, I've even said to Richie, so when we started last off, I said, we really want to get Ballsy.
Yeah.
Who I worked with in the Pilgrim.
Yeah. Superb. So you've been around a while.
And I've seen the name pop up about 12 months ago, and I got in touch with him and said, well, I remember the gig we did, and this, that, and the other. I said, I really want you to come back to Liverpool. And he went, yeah, just give us some dates, this, that, and the other. So then at that point, day five from St. Helens, I'd already sort of like had a couple of gigs cancelled here, a couple for other reasons, personal reasons or whatever. And then COVID coming, kicked us all in the bollocks.
Yeah.
So they were kindly available on the same date. So we had them two. And then I'm going, right, okay, well, we need at least another one. But the original idea was just get three.
Yeah.
And then I was sat there on Facebook playing around, and Danny's name come up.
Of course it did.
Well, can't do any harm but ask, can you? Got in touch with Danny, and Danny said, oh, I'll go and ask the lads this and the other. I'm waiting for it. And I sat there and went, wow, I managed to get them three all in the same room.
So I'm going to go through the bill, ladies and gentlemen, for those listening, but you will start to go, it feels like one of those fucking adverts where it's like, wait, there's more, So, you know, VND, I'd heard of them, and I've heard some stuff by them, but I haven't seen them. So I'm like, straight away, opening band, I'm really excited to see that, like, because I know they're fucking really good. And I'm not going to sit here and go, yeah, I know everything about them because I'm some kind of fucking master of metal. I love it when there's a band. Oh, I know there's a lot of people around here who won't have seen them, and they are missing out because I'm hoping that the live show matches up to the sound. They've got a fucking good feel for VND.
Oh, right, okay.
And I'm hoping that they will be as good as I think they're going to be. As an opening band, I would argue they could probably headline. Maybe
all
very
four
soon.
Of these could headline.
But your opening band, the opening fucking act, could probably headline us, and no one would say shit.
100%.
And it's a band no one has heard of, and it's a band coming down from Glasgow, which I love. It folds into everything that the metal on Merseyside is doing, and that's such a great get. But then you've got Reaper. And Dan, you know, Dan's a good friend of the show. He's been on quite a few times, and we've talked about, you know.
Yeah. Why have Reaper been going since 2011?
It's fucking crackers, isn't it?
Holy shit.
They are long overdue. And Dan, I tell this Dan every time I see him. He's one of the best guitar players in this region. The end. Just the end. He just is.
Yeah.
And he's done numerous, like, he's worked with quite a few bands, and he's an incredibly busy gentleman.
Yeah.
But their new stuff now, there is... You know, this is studio level, you know, signed, established act level quality.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. What he's doing at the moment. And you're getting them, and they're fucking second on. They're second on. What the cheeky bastard is saying? Somehow, Ian's convinced Dan that he's second on a fucking bill, and Dan's loved it. It's fucking, I love it.
As you say, it was only planning on three.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Richie said, do you fancy putting VND on? I went,
yeah.
Oh, all right. All right then.
I love that everybody else like fucking struggles, like, I've got this bill together. And you're just like, yes, Al. It's just relaxed.
It just happened, it's weird.
But Reaper now,
they're jammy.
Their last single was, you know, when I put it on the show and through the social media, is absolutely stupid. This is a band, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how you haven't seen them if you're a metal fan from the Northwest. I don't know how you'd almost actively not go to gigs to not see them, because they're playing everything and they play really great shows, but it feels like this might be their time now.
Well, they're supporting some, they're getting support. It's yeah. some really, really,
really big,
important bands.
Big bands. Yeah. And so it feels like that this is their time now. I think I'd go, I'll say it now. This might be the last time you'll be able to see them in a fairly small venue. It feels like they're academy bound now, that they're over. And that's, we want that. That's not a bad thing. That's we want that. Because then one day they'll come back and do a quiet show here, and that's cool.
Well,
like,
there's always a reason for this. Is it when they start doing the fucking stadium stuff like Metallica and that, I always say, don't forget where you came from.
It's yeah,
like, you owe me a fucking gig. Now, I've said that to not a metal, but off metal a bit now.
Yeah.
But there's a band called Lottery Winners now.
Yeah,
really well at the moment.
Yeah.
They're
moving up.
Taking up the ladder. Just had a number of an album. Now, I did their first gigs in the Pilgrim.
I love it.
And their dad used to drive them round in a car and stuff, and I used to help them out. And they were fucking wet behind the ears the whole
course
thing.
Of course they were.
Like,
yeah.
And for years and years, and they got better and better and better. And the last time I saw them, I said, I know you're going to do something with yourself. And they fucking started looking at me and said, you're going to be something decent. I know you are. I said, just don't forget where you come from.
I need that one show.
Don't forget to bring your dad will drive you there. Never mind all this fucking driving around in limos and shit.
Yeah.
So they want your dad to drive you there. He said, we'll fucking do, we're gigging here. Well, that's that and the other. So they owe me.
Yeah. And so, you know, Reaper feel like that.
Yeah,
they feel like they're they're going to go off and do some fucking brilliant... Well, they already are, but they're going to go off and do even more brilliant stuff. And I want to be there. You know what I want to be? Where they go off and do tours with like really big acts and they really kind of break through. And it's maybe a couple of years down the line and they play here again. Just to see that, I'd be really ace. Because Dan, you know, fucking hell, you know, we work hard, but fucking hell, Dan is like... No sleep, no days off. You know, it's ridiculous. That's going to be... And this, ladies and gentlemen, I can't get past this. The second on the bill. They can play on their own here and sell it out. What the fuck?
This is all headline. It's dead weird.
Just when you think it's the fucking... Wait, there's more. There's like deified.
Yeah, from St. Helens.
And, you know, I've had them on the show. You know, I've talked...
Every band lineup should have Wolves.
It's like... You
gotta love that. I've known these since they were kids, for fuck's sake.
We've seen them kind of become what they are, and their last album, you know, I talk about the song Blood Under the Bridge being like a watershed moment, like they're kind of Lamb of God's redneck. Deified are special, ladies and gentlemen. They're a special band that really kind of understood their genre and then capitalised and it became their own thing. And you know, we're probably... I need to speak to them again, see where they are in terms of new music. I suspect we'll get some new music at this show from them. In fact, I'm fucking certain of it.
Yeah.
They are very special. They feel like, if they suddenly said, we're out now with fucking Sepultura or Lamb of God, no one would blink an eye. They'd be like, they are ready, they are packaged, good to go. Away you go, boys. They are ready to go to big school now. And to see them here... You know, we saw them at the Zanzi when we had our events. We had them at the Zanzi, and the reason we booked them is because, first and foremost, above everything, they're fucking super, super nice guys to work with.
Easiest guys
to work with. But really, the real reason we did is because we knew that they'd fucking destroy. I've never seen them play a bad show.
No.
I'd argue a bad fucking note, if I'm honest with you, but a bad show, I've never seen it. Because they're just such, you know, they're in just control of it. This show that they'll play, 3rd of June, ladies and gentlemen, here at the Outpost, is going to be an exercise in fucking what it looks like to reach the next level. I'm putting to the stage here now, ladies and gentlemen.
It's going to be noisy.
That's what it'll look like.
Drop a noisy game.
Where you'd be like, how the fuck are these even contained in this building? How is that even fucking happening? That's how good Deified are.
Yeah. There's only a couple of things I've got to say about Deified. They know me really well. I've known Matt since he was a drum and bass DJ. And we're going back to 2008.
I love that.
That sort of shit. You know what I mean? He'll love me for telling people that. I said, the other thing which you've got, like, apart from there being some talents, which is not their fault.
Yeah.
I said, they go through drummers like Spinal Tap.
True.
Oh, my
fact.
God.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Somebody on about the fourth drummer now.
Something like that.
Stop killing your drummers.
But it's like, I've watched James Jamie, like, really, I've seen him kind of go through to what he'd become. Now I've seen him, you know, when they do Bloodstock, and you're like, fucking hell, final act of that. So they, you know, I think hearing new stuff by them, seeing them in a small room is just going to be, you know, at the smallest, the room that you're ever going to see them in again, feels like just fucking, it's mind blowing to me. It's mind blowing.
Great stuff.
After Reaper. But wait, there's fucking more. Listen, if you're sitting at home going, I'm thinking about going to this show, what the fuck do we have to tell you that we haven't told you already need to know? Like, seeing all these acts here, before we even get to headliner, if you're at home listening to this now going, I might go to this show, I think I'll put interested on the fucking Facebook thing.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What else do we need to tell you? I'll tell you what we need to tell you. We need to tell you about the fucking headliners.
Yeah. Balls deep.
Balls deep. How long have we been hunting for balls deep,
mate? I've been trying to get hold of them to play them again. First time I saw them was like I mentioned before, was in the Pilgrim, and it was a Joe Mortimer did it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it was the day before one of his UK Slam.
I think it was the
day before or 2 days before. It was up to that anyway. And they're from Stoke-on-Trent, like Robbie Williams.
Hmm.
You know, he's a...
The way that's your reference point, Mike, I love it. So, yeah, balls deep, like...
Right.
I mean, how long have you been looking out for them and trying to get them booked?
I've been trying to get this gig together now for easy 5 years.
Wow.
And it's just seemed to... It's just seemed to have like just all fell until, you know, like a funnel.
That's saying, yeah, just all kind just of all the balls have fell into the right place.
Dead cool. Quite proud of it. You know,
be, man. And listen to you. We'll be here.
Looks played a part.
Look, all is always
getting them all together. That's great.
I saw you. You know, we've been talking about it, and I knew that mostly, you know, what was going to get announced. So I was kind of seeing it for fun. When you put it up there, you know, you should be proud, man.
Cool.
You know, if you don't do this show, if you don't make this show happen, as I say to lots of promoters, it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. There's no one else to pick this up. You know, this happens like you say. Look. I say that it's hard work paying off. That your relationship with these bands is why it's suddenly formed into this show.
Yeah, I know that. So they trust me that I'm going to put it together. That's fine, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's so many factors involved with it, isn't it? I mean, if they fired and they're all having babies, so that can get in the way. Balls deep are from, they know Robbie Williams. You know, I'll tell you another story about Robbie Williams, even if you want,
But it's what I'm saying is that, you know, this isn't out the blue. This is years of things and things coming together, and this is the final thing that happens here. The biggest problem you've got, is the next time you do another show.
Well,
because you know, it's like, as you should do, you should always be going. What the fuck is that? You know, we did that. How the fuck do we top that? That's what you should be. You know,
it won't take 5 years.
I remember there was a conversation with Pink Floyd in the early 70s, and they were saying to Gilmour, they were like, "This light show is the fucking end of the earth. It's amazing. It's all this fucking looks amazing." Yeah. You know, how the fuck can you top that? And he was like, "That's what keeps you going. The fact that you're going to have to go back and go, okay, let's look at it again. How do we do a better show?"
Yeah,
you know, 100%. And that's what this is here. This is like, you know, people talk about a scene. You know, does a scene exist in Liverpool? This here right now is one of those things where you can hold it up as being an example of fact-based, that is why a scene exists. Because these bands are playing, some from this area, some not from this area, in a venue that is now an established venue with an established crew. That's the only reason this can happen.
Okay.
Because there's a scene. It's self
I've never really thought of it that way. But
that's,
you
know, the truth.
Now you put it together, I suppose.
Yeah. It can't
it's
happen.
It's hard to argue against it.
It can't happen because of these things. If one of these things falls down, like the venue, yourself, the band, one of these things doesn't exist, this doesn't exist. It is a proof of life, is what this show is. So, you know, I mean, we're not far out from it. It's coming up now.
3 weeks?
Something like 3 weeks, yeah. Does this feel even more... Nerves is not a word I put with you, Ian, but does it feel like, you know, because this is last stop and this is a big thing and your heart's in this. This is you. Is the nerves are bad?
No.
No.
Don't do nerves. No point. Wasted energy, mate.
Wasted energy. Yeah.
No, last stop is about enabling things to happen. We're last stop and the guys, when we start, we spoke about doing put gigs on together and things like that. We like to enable things to happen. We don't make money from it. We don't. It's you know, you get these like taglines like non-profit making companies and shit like that. We don't need it because we don't make money on it. All the money you get through the door is split through. Get once all the bills are paid, we go, there's yours, there's yours, there's yours, there's yours. And if it's a dead busy gig, everybody benefits. And that's the way it is. I'm dead against some promoters using the pay-to-play business. I think that's hollow and disgusting, to be fair. Especially when you're relying on young bands with just big groups of mates.
It's interesting. I've been...
I just can't abide it, honestly.
I've been, sadly, around a long time to see that. And I've had kind of it pass through my life as well. And, you know, to be... And I've always been honest on the show, ladies and gentlemen, as I always will be, is that I... Of course, pay-to-play is awful and you shouldn't do it. And that's that. I understand, however, how it's... been come about.
I understand it.
I understand.
From a band's point of view, and they know nobody.
Yeah.
Right, okay. If they know no one, then it's a great leg up to get a decent gig. But it's going to cost them a fortune. They don't realise it. They don't look at the other side of the coin and weigh up the costs of this, that and the other. Now, if they're happy to pay the costs and they're happy with it, then, you know what I mean? It's there, but we want it to go away. Yeah.
When you say you know, pay to play now, I hear is poor promoter skills. That's what I hear.
No, it's money making.
Yeah,
it's just promoters.
Yeah, so like, what I'm saying is that
they're not in for the music to start. They need to make books off the young band.
100%. So you get a promoter who doesn't know correctly how to promote it, doesn't really want to get hands on, doesn't really know the venue or doesn't really understand it, knows that there's outgoings to book venues and all that, and wants to reduce the amount of those, reduce the risk. Ultimately, and that's where that I understand where it comes from. I'd like it to fuck off back there, but I understand where it comes from, and I think it's dying out now. I think people are more savvy to that now. I think they are, and it's only people like yourself and Joe and Andy at Deathwave who do that, who go, okay, look, you know, first things first, everybody's getting paid and everybody's getting paid a fair amount 100%. Before we even fucking start. The difficulty of that is that, you know, no one person's fucking, you know, walking away with a load of coin on this. It's not gonna be like that. No. But that's the whole point, is that no one's doing it for the money. No one here is doing this for the money. It's not about that. Okay. You know, it's about, you know, we've been there where when the lights go down, the place is full, a band starts up and they're fucking incredible.
Yeah.
I can take all the money in the fucking world. I don't want any. When that happens, it's special. It's special. I've said this before. You know, that's why people play music at funerals, because those moments mean something. Those acts, when you listen to them, we've stood here. I've stood next to you myself when we've watched the band, looked at each other. I haven't said anything. We've looked at each other and gone, that's fucking going off. We know it is. Yeah. We know it is.
Yeah.
These moments transgress all kind of thoughts of, like, you know, and at that moment you're not thinking how much should we take on the door, let's sell some merch. You're not thinking that, and that's why it's special, and that's one of those things that that must be fostered and taken care of. I mean, this show coming up, ladies and gentlemen, you know, if we haven't set that stall out for you to come to the show, I don't have to fucking tell you.
You're a great salesman, Mark. Do you know what a guy you are.
It seems so obvious. No, do you know, it is, just it like is. You're just standing there pointing
for me, hopefully for the bands as well.
Yeah.
Hopefully the bands will be bang up for it, and, like, you know, open things are going to fucking kick off, which I can't see it not kicking off.
I think it'll just kick all the way off. You know, I think that, and it's what's interesting as well about the whole thing is that there's just enough difference between the bands to make it interesting.
Yeah.
It's not 100%. Four of a particular type of band or five particular bands. It's not that. You know, going from VND into Reaper's a different world. Going from Reaper into Deify, different world. Going to Deify, it's all different. It's the same scene, same, you know, aggressive metal and kind of, you know, loud and heavy. Well, but there's progressive elements to it. Yeah. There's hardcore elements, there's punk elements to it. It's a lovely, you know, by luck or chance or kismet or whatever you want to call it, it's worked out that that's a really diverse build. Now, I suppose, I mean, are you close to selling out? Where are we from now? If you're listening to this now and you want to get tickets, is this a fucking Are the tickets still available?
We're doing okay.
Yeah.
We're doing okay.
Okay.
I don't know. But I mean, there's 3 weeks to go. Generally, you get to a week before a gig and there's a clamour and often get like, hey, oh, has anyone got any spare tickets for this? You're really trying to put out to people, don't be in that position.
Yeah.
You know, we're not just saying buy tickets to make us feel good. I've already said we don't make fucking money on this.
Yeah.
What we're doing is for the benefit of the bands.
Yeah.
And we're putting these gigs on for the benefit of punters to see these bands before they all fuck off on tours of the world or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But this is why I talk about this all the time, that like buying your ticket early sets up a load of dominoes.
Yeah.
Like, so when you buy it early, you're obviously giving money to the venue, or at least insuring money for the venue for this thing to happen. So that kind of answers a few questions, blah blah blah. But also, you're already knee deep, I imagine, in planting many other venues and many other gigs. Yeah, balls deep, if you will. But we'll go off this podcast now and we'll talk about some shows that are coming up because of the success of this, coming up. I don't think there's any hope for it. When this is successful, ladies and gentlemen, this show will sell out.
Yeah.
I'll pay in, yeah? Okay, this is recorded. I'll pay in for every ticket that isn't sold out of my own pocket.
Wow.
There's no fucking way you're telling me this isn't going to sell out.
No, you
don't want to be that dick that turns up and goes, what, can't I get in? No, because it's sold out, your penis. It's fucking sold out. Why are you... But it is, you'll get it all the time when people go, well, just towards the pen it up. No, because this is a fucking 80 cap venue and this is a fucking bill that's unbelievable.
Yeah. Should be in a bigger venue.
Why the fuck? You know, and it's not going to be one of those cases, ladies and gentlemen, as well, where you see it all the time where we've sold X amount of tickets and we're upgrading to this. There's no upgrade.
It's not upgrade.
The upgrade is standing outside without a ticket, listening, if you can, for the fucking bands. Yeah. That's the upgrade with the door open and shut. Don't be that dickhead that does that. Buy a ticket now. Let's get this sold out in the correct amount of time. Because then, once it's sold out, we can get to the point of just looking forward to it now.
Yeah.
This is a sold-out show. And the bands can advertise it as a sold-out show. So other people who maybe are new to this band will go, hold on, this band's selling out this venue. That's currency that can be used. That social media can get onto that. And that's why the other reason it's important to kind of do that. Don't be that person that, you know, puts interested. And don't be that person that comes up there on the door. Because that's killing the scene. That's killing it. If you say anybody can click a button to say they're interested, anybody can do it. Mm. A well-trained animal could do that. You know, it's not about that. And you give this false prediction to bands that, 250 people are interested in the show. You know, and it realistically, it's probably about 20 are actually going to turn around to say...
From our promoter's point of view, to be honest with you as well, the sooner it sells out, the less work we've got to do.
Exactly. But what it means is
give me some sleep and buy a fucking ticket.
but then the conversation can shift to the next show. Then you can go, okay, that's done. We can't do anything else with that show. There's no point in promoting it. Sold out.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next show.
Think about the next one.
And what we're working at, ladies and gentlemen, is we're working like not just the next one or two shows. Me and Ian will have a conversation now after off pod about the next year.
The next year.
And that's how this becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and this is how this becomes a thing that becomes a scene. And venues have a lifespan now because it goes way beyond. You start booking a year ahead.
There's a word we've already used as well, which is trust. Is that the punters and the people who come to the shows hopefully will trust us to give a show worth... You may see a lineup and go, well, I've heard 3 or 4 bands. Said, hope you'll trust us to actually think.
That's interesting.
It's going to be a fucking bonza show.
Because
we've done this before, because you knew them. So you've got to trust us to say, look, I'm just going to buy a ticket on the strength of what they knew and what.
I talked to Andy about earning that, you know, with Death Wave or UK Slam.
Strength of the promoter rather than the bands.
Yeah, and that's like
fantastic. I mean,
that's a wonderful thing.
Joe's in that position.
I think 100% he is. 100%. So I will.
Oh, by the way, I'd just like to say best of luck to Joe and Lisa, by the way.
Yeah.
Because they're about to...
It's very close.
Be parents.
It's very close. Like he gets another crew member very soon.
Someone to sell the merch.
he gets another merch person, which is ace. Is that baby selling merch? I don't know what's going on. Yeah, but absolutely. That's going to be... I'm going to love to get him on the show again with a father's perspective. I'll be ace that night. But yeah, it's... these promoters that are out here doing the great work, it's all earned on trust and knowing that, you know, when you come to the show, things are going to be ran well. It's going to be safe. That's the other thing we don't talk about here as well, Ian, is it's going to be safe and welcoming. So the last show I was at, and I was standing in that corner there, which is a little bit of a perch for me sometimes. And I was watching, and the crowd was a mix of characters, and it was there was girls and guys and all, everybody was there, and it was like a roughish gig, you know. There was some pit going on, but never once did anybody feel unsafe or unwelcome.
That was the open show, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And that's the thing that, you know, because I'm obsessed with, like, why the fuck aren't you coming to a show? I want to know the reasons. Price of the tickets? Shut the fuck up. You know, it's too far away from where you live? Shut the fuck up, essentially. It's like, I'm obsessed with these things. And one of the things that come up was talking about a place being safe for women and safe for people that, felt that they would, you know...
We're extremely inclusive when it comes to things like that. I personally have heard one or two rumours. You hear rumours.
Yeah.
Being a sort of promoter, sound guy, and this, that, and you're mixed in the sound, the scene. So you get to meet so many people.
Yeah.
Is that you hear stories and things like that. Now, I don't usually judge people's stories. I'd rather, once I get the facts, then fine by me. But you hear so many stories, and you don't want to hear stories about anything that goes on in here. I won't have it. It just will not happen.
Yeah.
As soon as I hear a whisper of anything going in, and like, trust me, there's a back door there.
Yeah, and you're going through it, like whether it's open or not.
I go through the fucking wall on the way to the door.
but it's that I see. Happening. I see not that, happening. and I'm like, this is a beautiful thing where people are like. So when you talk,
I don't have it either.
Yeah, when you talk about a venue, and you talk about it being welcoming, that's on a number of levels. And you talk about a promoter and a promoter running a good show, it ain't always just about the sound or the bands. It's about a lot of other things there. There's a lot of other factors
involved,
you know.
Yeah,
and if those, it's like, you know, if done incorrectly, they can be red flags. So people don't want to come. I don't want anybody not welcome at my show. You know what I mean? I know you're the same. It's like everybody, listen.
I want people when you walk in, they'll see me and I'll. Thumbs up.
Yeah, everybody knows. I've seen you do it. I've seen you do it.
Doing, always doing it.
And
I want people to come in more often, and they'll see my fucking ugly face, and they'll...
Because then it's that thing, isn't it? It's that thing of, like, okay, you know what? I can relax and enjoy myself now.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to a party with your mates, and it's all your mates there. You kind of, you step down. Yeah, oh, I don't have to worry. No one's going to say something stupid, and no one's going to be horrible. Yeah. And that's... I think that's you know, maybe missing in some venues, that's the truth, maybe missing in some, but certainly not here, and certainly not at this show.
No.
So, yeah, I think, ladies and gentlemen, look, if we haven't sold you enough on this, I don't know what to tell you. These preview shows I normally do are normally like 20 minutes long when I go through the bands
I'll
and why
some lollipops on the door. They used to do that in the 80s as well.
Did they?
Have a box of lollipops and have a lollipop when you come in.
I know that when you used to, like, the rave culture, they used to sell lollipops, but it's probably from
The rave scene was what everybody used to be on tablets and in the rave scene. And the way of coming down off ecstasy was to give people fruit.
You used to give
oranges out at the door when you're coming out, and you see people munching on the oranges because it was good for them.
That must have been mad as well when they had it, like the rave scene and stuff, and there was nobody drinking. Like, to the bar, wasn't taking any money anymore. That must have been a shift and a weird thing, like, you know.
They have one small fridge in the corner, one of them fucking things in the bag with four bottles of beer in. And it's just like full of water.
So what were you saying about... We were talking about recording then.
Yeah.
And you were saying you were going to... Last stop,
we've done the gigs thing.
Mm.
And we're spreading our wings and booking gigs at other venues and what have you.
Okay.
And we're constantly getting sent music of bands. So if there's a band out there wants to send Last Stop Sounds their music for a review...
Okay.
By all means, that's what we do.
Right.
That's how we started. And then you'll find some or one of us or whatever... around the gigs, Richie and Adrian, and there's Johnny and all them. I think we've got five photographers involved with us, and you'll find one of our photographers at your band at your gig.
Yeah,
and we'll do a review of the gig or whatever. So we'll do that as well. Now, I did do a radio show. I did one, and I used it on Melodic Attraction. where he interviewed people in bands and what have you, and thought did Joe and what have you, and I picked their favourite music and how they influenced and stuff.
It's a great show, ladies and gentlemen.
We spoke about them rather than the music or anything like that. So with Last Stop Now, we've got an idea now where we may be doing. Something with a mate of mine who's just starting an online radio station. We've been talking. And he wants it to be something of a John Peel legacy sort of thing.
Wow, okay, yeah.
So, you know, everybody knows about Peel Sessions.
Yes.
When you used to come in, record a band live.
Anyway,
we're considering doing Outpost Sessions.
Great.
Through Last Stop, where we come in, we get band on.
Yeah.
No crowd as such. Just record.
They just record. Yeah, 100%.
And interview this, that, and the
other.
So that's a possibility.
That's interesting.
These are the things we're thinking about, like, doing together.
Yeah.
So that'll evolve with some negotiation. And what
it's
you,
always
you know,
negotiation.
It's always fucking negotiation with one thing and another. But that's a major possibility, which we'll be able to offer in the near future, I think. As well as sort of shows on me friend's station, so I can't really say anything at the moment because it's all a bit pie in the sky.
Yeah, of course.
But these are the ideas that we've got, sort of.
So, like, we're talking mostly metal as it is on this show,
there will be metal. It'll be cross genre.
Metal.
It won't be. It'll be.
How close are we to the next sort of Last Stop's metal show? Then are we? Is there another one kind of starting to? Form.
I've got a couple of ideas. Like,
good.
You know, what's up?
Good.
We don't want to tell people.
We don't want to tell people everything,
I want
do
I want
we?
Everyone but... spring you on them.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I'll put links to Last Stop and the things that Ian and the crew are doing there. But I think I get asked in the streets, like, you know, what promoters are doing this and who should I get in touch with. And if I have to suggest anybody, it would 100% be Last Stop Sounds. And I'll put some links and some bits and pieces on this show. But listen, one last time, it's the 3rd of June. Yeah, we've talked about the bands, but I'm going to talk about them again. VND, Reaper, Deified and Balls Deep. Yes, you heard all of them at the same time, at the same place. How are you not selling this out? I have already staked the claim that I'm now going to be selling, buying all the tickets that don't... That's not going to happen.
Don't buy a ticket.
It's not...
What a skint man.
But it's such a no-brainer. Ladies and gentlemen, I will be at this show and I'm more to see it, because I'm going to see four fucking great bands, but more to see it just go down so well.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to stand there when that venue show works so well, and this will be one of them. It's almost like
we'll do some lollipops.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll probably get all you guys from Last Stop on the show in one sitting because I think that'd be fantastic. But as always, it's nice to just talking. And more than anything, we share a couple of pleasantries in between shows. But it's just nice to talk to you. I always get a lot from it. And hopefully you did too, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to what Ian does and if you want to be involved in sound and promoting. I think there's some wonderful... wonderfully interesting stuff that Ian's saying there, and I always get a lot from it, and we're going to get Ian on again. He's one of those guests that we just have to get on because there's so much we didn't cover. But listen, man, thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
No problem at all.
So, have we convinced you enough to come to this show? This is going to sell out. Look, this is. And I've watched these bands' journeys to see them all playing together. It makes my heart sing. And so, you know, have we convinced you enough to come to this fucking show? Because you absolutely need to. This is the scene we're talking about. I'm going to film this one. It'll be going off. It'll be a great show. It's like bands that I think we've outlined now why they're so important to the scene and why you should be going to see them. It'll just be a good time in a great venue with great bands in a place promoted by great people. Don't you want to be there for that? Don't you want to be at that show? That show is the 3rd of June, Saturday the 3rd of June, this Saturday at the Outpost in Liverpool. And like you need me to go through the bill again, but Balls Deep, Deified, a Reaper, Visceral Noise Departments. These are, you need to be at this show. It's as simple as that. And there's going to be a few more shows coming up as well, and the special stuff that I'm going to be putting up as well as we get closer to the time. It was great to sit down with Ian. He's just a great guy. And he talks from the heart, and he tells some really good stuff. He's a great sound guy, as I told him. He's almost like the other member of the band, and it's just a vibe to the show as well, which I've never seen with any sound guy before. So it was just great to speak to him and great to do that whole thing in the Outpost. How many times have I talked about the Outpost? A lot. I've done shows with them. It's because it's just a great venue, and that's where I'm starting. I want to support my scene, so I pick a venue and I work with that venue on a number of levels to help the scene. I speak to bands that I like to try and help the scene. I speak to crew to help to support the scene. It isn't always about buying this and buying that and going to shows and buying tickets. Sometimes you can't do that. So all the things I do it because I love this stuff. I do it because when those lights go down, the band starts up and it's fucking going off. That's my happy place. That's where I belong. And I really want you to see that. And I want to be standing next to you when you see that. And you're like, fucking hell, Coop, this is fucking amazing. And I'll be like, I fucking told you. But seriously, I thank you for listening to the show. I've had some really, really great suggestions for guests. And some people approached me to come on the show as well. I've got some fucking kick-ass stuff coming up. Really is. And doesn't every band do that with big things coming? Yeah, I'm sure big things are coming. But I've got some great shows coming up. And the reason I say that is because they've been suggested by you guys, by the listeners, and dare I say it, the fans of the show. Because that's how it should work. You say, Coop, why don't you talk to this guy? And Coop, why don't you go to this show? Okay, let's do that then. And that's how it grows. I'm learning so much about the scene. I'm discovering so many new bands and great promoters and venues. It's superb. And it's thanks to you guys, the listeners of the show. So thank you, one and all. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for reposting and liking and all that other good shit. And I will definitely see you at this show.